Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Wine About History podcast. Today, we are drinking Domaine Chenault Touraine Sauvignon Blanc, the 2017 vintage. And once again with me is...
Patty, hi.
Hi, Patty. And like just as I promised, we're talking about St. Nicholas.
And who are you?
I'm Max.
I'm Max.
Max the Forgetful.
I'm here to remind you.
That's her job, to remind me of stuff. But yeah, we're talking about the
historical... the real St. Nick.
The real St. Nick.
Real one.
Or as Dutch people like me call him, Da Sinterklaas.
Oh, I'm part Sinterklaas. Dutch too, so I guess I
could
call
him. So, here's the thing. So, for those of you who don't know, Santa Claus comes from Sinterklaas, and Sinterklaas comes from the original St. Nicholas, who was a 14th century Christian saint. He was a priest and bishop. So he's also called Father Christmas in England, and he originally was called Nicholas of Myra, because back then you didn't really have a last name. You were just called Nicholas of blank, or John of blank, or, yeah.
Patty of Minnesota.
Yeah. Dale of Los Angeles. So we don't have a lot of documentation, at least as far as I know. I'm sure there's some excellent books floating around about him that I couldn't get my hands on. Because that's how it goes. Like, oh, there's no information about this guy. And then you do more research, you find oodles and buckets of information. And then you got to spend the next 5 hours combing over it.
Yeah. Which you didn't do.
No, I didn't.
But you got the basics,
right? I got the basics of the man. So he, St. Nicholas, was born in Patera, Lycia. So Patera being the... like the county, and Lycia being the region. And that's on the southern coast of Turkey in the 3rd century. Because back then, Turkey wasn't Turkey. We had Thebes and Thrace and all these random biblical nations that no one knows about today.
Right.
So he was born to a wealthy Greek family that was living there, because Greeks ruled the Mediterranean, not at the time, but they were everywhere. Because they had leftovers from thousands of years ago.
Sure.
And he used this wealth to help the less fortunate. And he liked helping people. He liked helping people a lot. That's where the grateful nature of St. Nicholas comes from.
Yeah.
And he ended up joining the priesthood and helping others. And that's how he got... and he was so popular, he became a bishop in his 20s, which is not heard of.
Right.
You don't do that. It's not allowed. There's a rule somewhere that you can't do it, but they didn't let him.
They did it anyway.
They did it anyways. And there are a lot of stories of him doing this. A more accurate one is probably... there was a poor man who had 3 daughters and no dowry. And you basically, a dowry is you pay the husband's family to take care of this person because it costs so much to feed someone. And some cultures, there's something called a bride price where you pay to buy the bride. So there's, in most cultures, there's a monetary value to marriage, whether it's going to one family or the other. And
it just sounds creepy.
It is creepy. It is creepy, but it was... you know, back then they were starving. They were like, all, everyone was kind of slowly starving to death. So.
Right. I guess that makes it less creepy. Yeah. Arranged marriages.
Arranged marriages.
You want to try this wine?
Yeah.
We didn't talk about it, did we?
We didn't. You didn't. It's shame on you. You're the one that's actually drinking it.
I know. You can have a sip. It's not bad. It's kind of fruity.
And actually, it's really fruity. That's actually really good. I might.
Yeah.
I might keep this.
All right. Go for it. You can keep my wine. That's no problem. I'm sure,
well, you
St.
people
Nicholas
could see
the drink wine.
Yeah, people could see the look on my face.
Okay,
smirk.
We were talking about the dowry marriage, whatever thing.
So back then, most people had arranged marriages. If you were of any class at all, if you were poor, you could marry kind of whoever you wanted. I'm not completely familiar with 4th century Greek customs, though. So
no, me either.
So not many people are. So he was poor. He couldn't basically have a dowry. So here's what Saint Nick did.
He was born into a wealthy family, though.
No. This is the farmer he helped, or the poor man he helped.
Oh, okay. I got way off track here.
So,
yeah, he wouldn't have gotten married because he was a priest.
Yeah. Okay. He didn't get married. Well, no, priests could marry until 1123.
Oh, okay.
You could have a wife until 1123 because priests kept abusing their power and were, up to naughty things.
Uh-oh.
Which we can save that for the theosophy podcast.
Here.
So,
okay, I didn't know that.
But now you know. It's history, and
it's,
I'm drinking wine.
Right.
So,
farmer
poor man needs dowry, so he took little golden balls and snuck them into the house through the chimney. Or
get out of here. Are you kidding me?
Or he broke in and put them in their stockings. Just kicking the door. I'm Saint Nick. Or maybe he left bags of gold. But he left this money so they could have a dowry. And they didn't know where it came from. And it came in the middle of the night. And people in the old days used to dry their stockings out by fire. So you'd put them in there.
Cool.
Very cool. He did that stuff like so this cool. all the time. He was very generous with his money. And he loved children.
Uh-huh.
He did a lot of miracles and stuff out by the docks and looked after sailors. He's the patron saint of sailors.
Okay.
And I was wrong. It's the village of Patera.
Okay.
That's right. I see is the region. So county, whatever. But being a Christian back then was really dangerous because a lot of Christians were very persecuted. They were killed. They were murdered. They were this, they were that by pagans. Who, it's a new religion, it's bad, get rid of it. So, under the Roman Emperor, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Diocletian, he persecuted Christians, and they threw him in prison, and he was tortured.
Aww, bunch of, Saint Nick was?
Yeah, poor Saint Nick. It was pretty typical to be tortured if you're a Christian back then.
Aww.
It was not fun. So, What happened was he got out of prison because a new king came along. Okay. A new emperor came along.
A nicer one.
Whose name escapes me.
That's okay.
It's okay. Yeah. I had it down in the notes and the notes are missing. Okay.
Well, nicer king came along.
Nicer emperor came along. So. I want to say it was Constantine, actually. But Constantine wasn't born a Christian. But I think it was Constantine.
Okay, let's say that. Let's not be accurate.
It was Constantine. No, it was. It was Constantine. And Constantine didn't persecute Christians. He became a Christian throughout
that
his life.
That's right. Yeah.
The history is coming back here, folks.
Okay.
And the prisons were so full of Christians that under Diocletian's reign, that there wasn't room for anyone else. Not murderers, rapists, thieves. That's how bad it got.
Priorities.
Someone had a problem.
Yes, we did have a problem. Someone else.
And Constantine, I believe he won some battles and eventually became established as emperor. And he was part of this thing called the Cult of the Invincible Sun. It's actually very interesting, but we can't get into that. We're focusing on Nick. Then the Council of Nicaea came along, where they debated what to put in the Bible.
Bible, yeah.
And a lot of people know about it because of Dan Brown's book, which is full of inaccuracies, apparently.
Well, it's a novel.
Allegedly. Don't sue me, Mr. Brown. All I have to my name is the recording equipment that this is on. And a bunch of historical knickknacks. So at the Council of Nicaea, there was a lot of debates about what to put in the Bible. And there was a gentleman came up saying that one of the priests came up, and there's something called Arian Christianity, where they believe that Jesus Christ was not divine when he was here.
Uh-huh.
He was human. Uh-huh. And this was considered total blasphemy. In fact, Arian Christians were persecuted for the rest of history.
Okay.
With this little disagreement. Mm-hmm. And a guy came up in the middle of council and started screaming, Jesus Christ wasn't divine while he was a human being. Saint Nick got up and punched him right in the face.
All right, Saint Nick.
And broke his nose.
So he was a fighter.
And the celebration of his death became Saint Nicholas. There's a lot of feast days for saints.
Yeah.
And they made a bunch of saints days because priests wanted to prevent there being war.
Kidding.
Yeah, so that's why they were like, oh, make that guy a saint.
I thought it was just a fun thing.
No. They would because people are constantly going to war and they go tell Christians, you can't fight. Today is Saint who just died? Saint Citizens Day, yeah. He's totally a saint. Call the Pope. Call him now. So there are stories of him, like after he died, he saved people, he rescued people too. There was Arabian pirates.
Mm-hmm.
Kidnapped someone from the town of Myra, where he lived for his life, and brought him to the king. And the king used a little boy as a cupbearer, which is what you had. You had people bring you your cup because you're so, you know, I'm the king. I can have someone bring me my alcohol. Well, they prayed to Saint Nick, and a massive wind blew up, took the boy from the Arabia to Myra, and the boy was still holding the golden cup. So there's all these stories about him. And after he died, and he was, deified?
Canonized.
His bones were said to leak a substance that could cure ailments. People rub it on, like, things that are hurting them. His bones were very highly prized. In fact, something called the Varangian Guard, which are a bunch of Russians and Vikings that the Byzantine Emperor used as his bodyguard and mercenary force, were his special guards. So pagan Vikings were guarding one of the most holy Christians ever.
That's funny.
And he was actually brought to William the Conqueror. And William the Conqueror prayed to him before he attacked England in 1060. I'm going to slaughter a whole bunch of people. Dude, help, dude who's all about peace and love, help me out here.
It'll be fine in the long run if you just help me out.
Because he loved kids so much and because he took care of loved children so much, and because of the story of the golden balls and the it morphed into Santa Claus.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
It's really cool.
Yeah. I didn't realize that chimney was a thing and stockings were a thing. I love it.
I love it too. If you can't tell, but when I get excited, I go on bunny trails. So...
But it's neat to know kind of the history of some of Christmas traditions and how Santa Claus came about. So.
And the infamous Krampus. So there's the Krampus is going back in popularity. The Krampus is a demon that punishes naughty children.
Yeah.
The Krampus come from was a butcher that had killed three children and wanted to eat them.
Psycho.
And St. Nicholas brought them back to life, and the butcher became the Krampus. Like, he repented and became... his ally and punish naughty children for misbehaving, and he eventually morphed into the Krampus.
Huh. I see. Is that a German?
Yeah, it's a Germanic thing. It's probably pre-Christian.
Oh, okay.
So.
All right. I think I've seen, like...
It's creepy. They are creepy looking.
Super creepy. They wear masks like that. I'm like... Ugh.
If you did that in America, you're going to get stabbed or something. Someone's going to be drunk on Christmas and just beat the crap out of you.
It's like Slenderman scary.
It's Slenderman really creepy. Bad. Well, how do Germans not freak out and throw beers at people's heads?
They're probably just used to it.
Yeah.
It's their thing.
It's our thing. But yeah, it'd be just... Ugh.
So... That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that on this New Year's Eve.
This New Year's Eve.
And New Year starting.
New Year starting. I'm excited for it.
I'm excited too.
Yeah.
And all our listeners have a really
I hope you guys have a wonderful year.
It's your best year.
But maybe someone should ask me what we have lined up next.
Oh, Max. What do we have lined up?
Well, since we're exploring a new year, we're going to do some episodes on explorers.
Awesome.
Yes, I've got them all lined out. And then we're going to go back to an old favorite, World War I veterans and heroes.
Alrighty.
And who knows next after
that?
I'm
excited.
I'm excited for it too.
All right. Well, happy 2018, everybody. And thank you for joining us tonight. And if you're interested in the wine, once again, the name is?
Domaine Gluant Terrain, 1885 Sauvignon Blanc. And if you are, say, an executive at a wine company.
1885?
That's what it says. The year is 2017, but someone wrote 1885 on the sticker.
Right. It's a pretty old management.
Yeah.
No, it's good. It's very fruity. If you like light, fruity white wines.
I like fruity wine. Yeah, if you are have any connection with a wine company, whether it's Uper Wines up in the UP or Opus One, give us a buzz.
All right. Well, I think what we should do, too, is try to find a wine that ties in with our podcast, if we can do that. I think we can do that.
How?
I don't know. I'll figure it out.
I'm like genuinely curious how. There's going to be...
I
can think of some wines. Like, there's history-based wines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure out. We'll find some. We'll buy 10 of them. We'll drink them until they start giving us money.
We have to keep drinking until we find the right one that matches our podcast. We'll do it.
I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can live through it.
All right. Well, I think that wraps it up for tonight.
It does.
Then, doesn't it? And goodbye, everybody.
Remember, without history, you wouldn't be here.
We wouldn't be here.
See you guys in the next episode.